Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Overcomers.ca, the New Jerusalem, still carrying on in the section concerning the foundation. Chapter 50, Jude, Lebbeus, Thaddeus, Confession. Scriptures. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I should speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verses 9 to 13. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exerciseth profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a little child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4:19 and Scriptures. Three visions. First vision. In the slime pits of Egypt, I saw an Israeli slave working in the slime with straw. As he worked, he found a lump of clay large enough for him to bring it up out of the earth and hold it in two hands. He broke off from around the clay, which was dried. Underneath was a pure white stone, written within and without, which the slave held in both hands. Revelation 2:17 says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:17. Note, this vision of the Israeli slave is akin to the overcomer enduring daily trials with no relief or end of the trial in sight. It is important to know that this is but a picture of our present condition of enduring daily these testings and vision. Second vision. As I walked, the sky suddenly opened and I beheld the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could see him descend from heaven with a loud shout from his voice. He was wearing the garments of the great high priest, including the royal ephod upon his chest. Upon his brow was a crown of glory and great light, and he was covered in glory. He descended through the cloud to the atmosphere of the earth. As he descended, the rays of his glory spread outward and downward as rays of bright golden light, which illuminated everything on the earth. I saw then that as the rays of his glory melted and dissolved everything that man had built, there was nothing of the structures on the earth or of the decisions that man made that endured the rays of glory of the coming of Jesus. Everything melted and dissolved right to the soils of the earth, and all man had made for the past millenniums of time was dissolved in an instant at the coming of Jesus. The rays went out in every direction from his person, dissolving all that was in the earth. And two scriptures. The first scripture, Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the second scripture, Jude chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And second vision. Third vision, which is a continuation of the second vision. I saw then the rays of glory penetrate with no resistance the soils of the earth. Hidden in the soils of the earth were many precious gems and stones of great value, rubies, diamonds, and the like, all of which were of great worth. As the rays of his glory penetrated the soils, these gems were exposed, and they were brought up to the surface, and they were gathered by the Spirit of the Lord into a cluster, which was then caught up and presented to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as precious gems found deep in the earth, but presented to him as a reward for him and for his glory and crown and vision. And the scripture that applies to this, Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And visions. Jude Labaius Thaddeus, or Jude, who wrote the book of Jude, was a man who knew the extent and humility needed to be a disciple of the Lord. In the foundation of the New Jerusalem, he is equated with the diamond stone, known for perfect unity. The unity that we find in this is inworked nature in the overcomer, is unity in the fellowship of sufferings, and that same unity carried through to full overcoming victory and triumph in ruling and reigning with the Lord when he comes. The stark contrast written by Jude was seen as a judgment for those who bore lives of flesh and carnality versus those who learned the judgment of the Lord in their lives and who now bear the name of Jesus. Jude's name, Labaius Thaddeus, distinguished him from Judas Iscariot in the Gospels. He was also the flesh and blood brother of Jesus, being born of Mary and Joseph, and being also a disciple of the Lord. Only two of Christ's flesh brothers were disciples, James and Jude Labaius Thaddeus. Rather than getting into how his name came about, I'd rather speak about how his name is worked into us. One thing that is needed in this hour, more than at any other time, is the knowledge of his righteousness in us. The company of overcomers, the company of overcomers. I say the company of overcomers because I equate the overcomers to being the wheel within the wheel, the church within the church, the company of those who are hidden away outside the rest of Christendom, separated out from all realms of Christianity, and have therefore become targets of persecution from the Christian churches. I see the overcoming company as being those who bear crosses which are extremely personal and which are done in obedience to the Lord so that they can be in time saviors to the rest of the Christian world and mankind in general. They are not bearing their cross with the aim of being exalted above their fellow man or of being better than anyone else. They bear these things so that there can be no other motive in them but to be found in Christ with his righteousness as part of their very nature. That is the motive of those who overcome at this time outside the Christian world. And so the overcomer in this very hour, at this very time, during this very minute, is cast aside, bearing their cross and bearing their crucifixion process faithfully unto the Lord. The actual working of crucifixion in the overcomer is foreign to the Christian world. I do not believe that modern Christendom is bearing a cross at this time, but they that overcome all things are bearing very heavy crosses and are somewhat in fear for their lives at times. At other times, they are brave and able to bear this even unto death. They know that crucifixion is a process of death, but not the finality of death. That the finality of death in them, wherein their lives die out to that which is of the fallen nature, will not happen fully until Christ appears. When he appears, they will have ended in them the process of crucifixion and the process of death and dying. How marvelous to know that the end of this is ahead of us at his appearing. What is worked into the overcomers by the layer of the foundation stone diamond? Perfect unity. And what is the unity we desire? The unity and the fellowship that comes of suffering. Then, when the suffering is complete, the unity and the fellowship of perfection. For there is an end. There is a conclusion, and it will come to the overcomer at the appearing of Christ, which appearing will signal the end of the crucifixion process and of the fact that they live in denial of their lives in this present evil world. I prophesy to you that the Lord is about to come, and we will see the destruction of man's ways in this world and in all the works of carnal men. But we will also see the governments of the Lord arise as an army to set this creation free from death and from dying. To explain the heart and the unity of fellowship that Jude Labius Thaddeus had with his fellow disciples at the time he lived, in one must realize that his faith was also based on prophecy. For he prophesied of the coming of Christ and of the judgment of the world. He wrote in Jude chapter 1, verses 14 to 16, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." This prophecy continues to amaze the carnal mind, and that it reveals the unity which carnality has no ability to reproduce. You have heard me say that there is a true Jesus and a false Jesus, which we need to discern. The entire writing on the royal ephod was to teach the difference between Christ and Antichrist, who looks like Christ. One cannot tell the difference between Christ and Antichrist except by looking at the ephod the high priest of glory wears upon his chest. The third row of stones is missing on the Antichrist's ephod. Now I will show you that there is another way of recognizing the true Jesus from the false, all found in the unity of the diamond stone as the layered portion of the New Jerusalem in the person of Jude. This other way of recognizing the true Jesus from the false Jesus comes by true unity. This unity cannot be produced by the false Jesus. It can be implied. It can be imitated. It can be emboldened as character, but it cannot be in truth. There is a unity that the overcomers have one with the other that cannot be discerned for any other thing. That unity comes of suffering the cross. There is a unity in suffering tribulation that marks the true saint from the false saint with a false blessing. True unity brings first the cross. This unity cannot be imitated by the minions of hell because it brings with it a life laid down. When you come across a true overcomer, you will see upon them the marks of crucifixion. This cannot be imitated. If it is imitated, it can only be self-pity. But for those who overcome all things, crucifixion is the result and the mark of impaled nails are the scars they bear. The book of Jude, the life of Jude, the confession and the triumph of Jude come because of the cross. We live in a time where there are many itching ears. Doctrines have emerged in the sun companies which state that Jesus is in everybody, that no one is without Jesus, that all a troubled soul need do is look within to see Jesus as the answer to their problems. We also see many of these who are of this persuasion state that there is no more death process in them, that they have moved from death to life, and that there is no more self-sacrifice needed. These are doctrines heaped upon itching ears, being brought about by motives that are akin to the Jews casting in the teeth of Jesus the temptation to come down from the cross if he be the Son of God. We have many teachers and preachers in the kingdom ministry movement that are proclaiming doctrines such as these as if they were truth, when in fact they are false doctrines and are no more than the blind leading the blind and calling themselves gods. There is a true unity of spirit that the overcomer has that comes because of the suffering of the cross. It is a fellowship. It is the only fellowship in this world that is true. It is a fellowship where one recognizes the other by the same suffering, by the same fierce impaling of the nails, and by the hardness of the slippery wood of the cross. A camaraderie comes which is created in truth by the identity of the mystery of his suffering lived out in each life, in each day that comes before them. And there is one thing that identifies this true suffering more than any other thing, and that is that these who suffer the death of the cross do not flinch away from it, even though they have the hope of it coming to an end, but rather they know that as long as they live in bodies of flesh and blood, the cross will continue to work in them. The ear-itching doctrines teach one to come down off the cross. They teach us that the work is done and nothing more is to be added to it. That the finished work of Jesus means I don't have to suffer. That Jesus suffered, so I don't have to. What they don't know is that the first place for true fellowship with the Lord is the suffering of crucifixion. I call this the fellowship of the mystery, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 4 to 11. It is impossible to duplicate this fellowship in delusion or by Antichrist means. It is fellowship which joins overcomer to overcomer in a unity of spirit that cannot be destroyed at all by any spirit or minion of hell or carnal Christian ministry. This is the true identity of the overcomer with the living Christ. Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. However, at the same time, when one lifts that scripture out of context, one would become deceived. For you cannot be a new creature in Christ without knowing that death also, at the very same time, continues to work in the lives of they that overcome. We are counted daily for death, daily to die, daily to suffer the reproach of the cross. The greatest persecution we could ever receive is not from men persecuting us, but from the Lord Himself, if we came off the cross to alleviate our suffering. The Lord would then become our persecutor. But the Apostle Paul agreed with Jude when he wrote that death is a continual process, just as life is a continual process. Paul said to the Corinthian Christians, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31. He also said, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Romans chapter 8 and verse 36. But that is not all. Paul also stated that if we were to walk out the working of the cross in us, that the cross would be the key to overcoming. It is this same cross that delivers us from living in this world to dying to this world. Again, it is this same cross that delivers us from living in this world to dying to this world. It is the cross that keeps us from being used for anything other than coming into the true fellowship of those who are of the same mind. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that when the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. So hear this, dear reader. Death will not end working in you till he comes. When Jesus does come, your death will end. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.